everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the Buckmaster Show. And Ray Allen, Mr. Allen, on the other side of the glass. Ray engineering and producing our show on this, the fourth day of January 2017. This is our the start of our seventh year this week here on the radio in Tucson, Arizona, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in our conversation today as we begin the, well, we're going to be doing it now the first Wednesday of the month, our monthly showdown with two gentlemen. I think this is the only radio show, certainly in Arizona, that brings together kind of the far left and the far right. To the left of me, seated appropriately enough, Mr. David Morales, Mr. Morales, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, and to the right of me, Sean McCluskey, a Tea Party founder locally.
And oh, I wouldn't go there.
No, wouldn't go there? Okay.
I didn't found it.
Okay, but you were in early.
I was found at the Tea Party.
You were found at the Tea Party. Republican Party activist Sean McCluskey, who also hosts a program called The Talk of the Town from 1 to 3 here on KVOI on Saturday afternoon. Gentlemen, Happy New Year. I think we can still say Happy New Year, the first week of the new year, can't we?
Well, it's been a great new year. Thank you.
You had a
Hope
good,
yours is
you
good,
had,
too.
Very good. Thank you. And David?
We still have President Obama, so.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That just made me throw up a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting, David, in your search of my archives, as you put together that really nice piece about my career, turns out Sean McCluskey's name came up as one of the early interviews in January of 2011 for the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, he was one of your first as a candidate for Tucson mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I put this article together because you are entering your sixth year on radio.
Well, actually, this would be entering the seventh.
You finished six years. And you're in your 50th year of your
yep.
communications
career.
Career.
Mm-hmm.
So you started about 5 years old, I take it.
I did, yeah. I was a like a baby intern at a radio station going around sweeping the floor and everything. But anyway, and of course, really, one of the first interviews we did was with Gabriel Giffords. In fact, we have Ron Barber on the show tomorrow, and I think Ray will probably play a little clip from that interview, from the Gabriel Giffords interview that we did. I believe it was the last media interview she did before the assassination attempt.
Yeah, it was just a few days right before it.
A few days before. Anyway, millions of people are going to be watching very closely 2 weeks from tomorrow. Sean and David, we will have a new president of the United States. A lot of people, Sean, very nervous. They believe the man is unstable with some of these tweets. It's one thing to tweet about Saturday Night Live and not liking a particular skit, but when you start talking about North Korea, his tweet after North Korean's leader said, "We're going to test an intercontinental ballistic missile," Mr. Trump tweeted back, "Not going to happen." Well, how is that not going to happen? Are we going to start a nuclear war over this?
Or maybe he'll stop it, or maybe he'll react to it. What would Obama do? I mean, that's the question. It's the biggest thing that I like about this is there's no fear from Trump. And he stays on point, stays on message, and delivers it accurately, and he says what he thinks. So let's look at the Korea thing. He says, if you go ahead and do it, we're coming for you, basically. Then look at what he says right after that, the following day. He says, go ahead and promote your GM cars that are built in Mexico, and we're going to put a come-across-the-border tax for you, basically. So, and think about that a little deeper. Who did the federal government bail out? GM. Where did GM take the jobs? Mexico. How's that help American workers? Thank you, Obama, for nothing. Thank God he's leaving in 2 weeks.
Now, about the cars, North Korea doesn't make cars. You're talking about China.
Well, I'm talking about
Chinese cars.
I'm talking about General Motors
making
their cars in Mexico.
Okay.
And they're going to, if they're going to bring them across the border, Trump is going to tax them because they're not produced in America.
Mm-hmm.
So like Ford did, don't take your plant to Mexico. Keep it in Detroit or where Tennessee or wherever you're going to keep it. And therefore, you keep American jobs. Unlike what Obama did. Obama let every company flee the country.
David, are you worried about Trump?
Well, I think we talked about it last time because it was the first showdown after the election, that one of the greatest dangers, I believe, posed by, I think he poses a long-term danger in terms of environmental issues, but, you know, and also with all the social issues and stuff, but the greatest danger is a nuclear war. And I'm afraid of us going kind of back to like the 60s with the standoff and, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis and the world this is something that the world could have already been destroyed, and then it didn't, but we're actually more powerful now. We're more dangerous now than ever before. And now when you have North Korea, you know, possibly having an ICBM, you know, this is the danger is, you know, one reason why Trump's not afraid is because he's a very rich man. And so the stuff he does isn't going to really affect him. It's going to affect millions of us.
Take his dollars out of it. He still doesn't care. He still doesn't.
He doesn't have to care because.
But he doesn't fear it.
But the thing is, we're going to suffer because.
No.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
Because.
The Democrats are scared to death right now. And you know what? If you're raising your children, and I'm going to talk about this on Saturday. If you're raising your children that they need a safe place in college, you've failed as a parent. The country doesn't need a safe place. The country needs a leader who is going to lead. And Obama hasn't led for 8 years. If you look at what's gone across the entire globe, world leaders do not fear or do not respect, furthermore, America. They are going to fear and respect America with Trump at the helm, guaranteed.
I don't know. I mean, here we have Korea doing what they're doing, and China's talking back to Trump, and then he's, you know.
China warned the United States about Trump and his tweets.
Oh, boy. We're worried about the nation of hackers who are building islands in the middle of the Pacific.
Saying,
I mean,
I'm just
we're
worried. We've got China.
See, I think this is where, you know, the Americans kind of get blinded to their own grandeur. I mean, China is the second largest economy in the world. It's got, you know, the most people in the world. They own most of our debt. You know, they could collapse the American economy.
Very true.
They overnight,
own a
if they
lot
wanted
of
to,
our debt,
which is ironic because the world's greatest capitalist nation actually owes all its debt to the greatest communist nation in the world. So, I mean, this is where you start seeing theory meet the facts, right? And I think, you know, you're saying, like, who needs safe zones? I mean, why would you not want a place for people to be safe? I mean, what is it against safety that you guys have?
I'm safe everywhere I go. I don't need a special spot with a lollipop and a pacifier.
So well, that United, what is it, We Stand United, that the Board of Supervisors
ridiculous.
Passed 3-2 yesterday, would have provide, will provide now, a safe haven for people who are victims of hate speech or hate crimes. Pima County will put a decal on entrances of downtown buildings alerting victims that the building is a safe haven. And you say that is ridiculous, Sean.
It is. It's a colossal waste of money. It's a colossal waste of funds. Just like giving Chuck Huckleberry a raise. What's this going to cost the taxpayers of Pima County?
I think they specifically.
Hold on. As Bill is shrugging his shoulders here because he doesn't know the answer, it is simple. Every county employee must go through safe zone training. No. You watch it happen. It's going to happen because I speak to the supervisors. And guess what? They are going to have to go through specialized training.
No.
What's it going to cost?
Didn't Christie specifically made sure it didn't cost the county anything.
It's going to cost the county.
But you're projecting onto the future.
No, you got to buy the decals. You got to make the safe zone. You got to train your people on how to react. Yes,
they could be donated.
They could be donated. And
they won't be.
Okay. But right now, it's costing them nothing. You have to vote on every expense. And so, but the point is, you said that you feel safe
that's
everywhere.
That's funny you believe that. Huckleberry runs Ruckshot and nobody cares.
You said you feel safe everywhere, right?
Yes.
So why do you have to carry a gun everywhere?
I ensure my safety that way.
But so you don't feel safe then?
No, I ensure my safety. I take issues into my own hands. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm proactive versus reactive. If we had that in our local leadership, if we had more proactiveness instead of reactiveness, we wouldn't be always so far behind the eight ball like we are right now.
The vote, Mr. Christie, who was sworn in yesterday,
yes.
Steve Christie, is the new Pima County Supervisor. He voted with Allie Miller on this safe haven issue, and he voted concerning Mr. Huckleberry's contract. He voted with Allie Miller that it should not be renewed. Is this going to be a trend, Sean McCluskey? Will this be the minority voting block, do you think?
Supervisor Miller and Supervisor Christie think a lot alike in the same aspect. They want what's best for the Pima County taxpayer. They want to be fiscally responsible. If that's a, crime, then they're going to take the shots like they took yesterday, and they took a ton of shots from the other three on the board. And one of the other three on the board most likely will be recalled in October.
You are talking about a recall.
Absolutely. I'm talking to a bunch of people about a recall. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be specific as to which one of the three, but one of the three who voted for Chuck yesterday will be most likely recalled in October.
But see, I mean, that's the opposite of what we were just saying earlier about being proactive rather than reactive, because you could have been proactive against this supervisor, most likely Elias, during this last election. It would have been easier to get someone elected than to recall and then get someone elected.
Right? I agree with you, but we didn't have a candidate.
How are you going to get a candidate now? You know,
it's funny what people will do when they get so upset. When county employees call you and they're lifelong Democrats and they're, Sean, I hate you, but you're my only hope. That's where the conversation's coming from. So, you know, I don't mind. I don't care. I have no feelings. I don't really care what
they
other people think about.
They say they hate you, but you're the only hope?
Yep. I've got the one guy, he calls me, and he says that I have hated you since you've ever started because you stand for everything that I'm against.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, great way to start the conversation. Let's go from here. And we got to an agreement. We both dislike this one particular supervisor.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Monthly Showdown. Join us if you care to at 790-2040. Sean and David going at it, and we will come back. We'll have some predictions from Sean and David. Top story predictions for 2017. That's next on the Monthly Showdown. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monthly Showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales, our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, want to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy new year. I know for a fact some of our listeners, because they told me so, were over in Silver City between the break and the Christmas New Year's break. Hadn't been over there before. Had a great time visiting the many attractions, including doing some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website. David Morales, you've been over there, haven't you?
Yeah, and I was also going to say that they have a good blues festival out there, too.
Very good blues festival. Thank you for bringing that up. And that comes up usually around the Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. To find out what to do and where to stay, there are a bunch of great places to stay. Again, SouthwestNewMexico.org. Sean McCluskey saying in the first segment that he will be, in fact, right now exploring whether to recall one of the three Pima County supervisors who voted to renew Chuck Huckleberry's contract. Right now he is in the recruiting stage, right? Is that what you're saying, Sean?
We'll call it exploring.
Exploring stage.
You have to look at that a little deeper. I mean, they give Chuck Huckleberry a raise that equates to $60,000 a year, and they can't find any money for the deputies in this county for 8 years. You know, we've got potholes as big as Volkswagens, and we've got weeds all over the side of the road. Our county looks like absolute trash, and this guy gets rewarded for doing something that he's supposed to do, and he does it, gets paid second highest in the country.
Okay, things to keep an eye on, David Morales, H.T. Sanchez. He's got a year and a half left on his contract. We'll have a newly constituted board being sworn in next week, correct?
Yes, next Tuesday.
Will this come up right away, his contract?
Probably not. It's not on the agenda, and it's a special meeting just to kind of get things going. But they have a regular meeting later in the month. And supposedly, you know, a lot can happen before then, but Michael Hicks might bring up a possible, you know, I don't know if he'll bring it up if he knows he doesn't have the votes, but it would also be a good way to kind of peg, you know, where exactly Rachel Sedgwick, the new board member, is going to stand on the issue. I think that a vote is actually going to be super important for a lot of reasons, because it's going to set the tone of a very tumultuous year ahead of us in TUSD. Biggest thing is they're filing for unitary status, which basically means they want to get off the DSEG order, and their DSEG thing is a disaster right now. I mean, their schools are getting demagnetized. They're misspending money. We just found out with the recent budget that was released that they've actually been using the teachers' Prop 301 monies to plug
financial gaps.
Yeah, deficit. So
will he survive this year?
My question is this to you, David. Is he going to get fired for specific non-performance of not doing his job? He's got 18 months left, about $1 million buyout, $800,000 buyout if they do fire him. Rumor has it he's looking for jobs elsewhere. He's supposed to be dropping his resume everywhere else. So is he going to leave early? I mean, does he get fired or does he get leave for leave? That's the question.
There's a lot of changes coming up. I see, first of all, Adelita and Hicks are probably not going to run for re-election in 2 years. That's also when his contract would be up.
18 months from now.
So I think he's going to try to leave, and I don't think he's going to seek an extension of his contract. So that's going to bring a lot of change right there. Now, where are these other people going to go? Well, so this is where, you know, the things you're talking about because they're all related. One of the things that happened is when you knocked out, when you got McSally in the power, you left Raul Grijalva as the most powerful Democrat in Tucson. And so he's the one that kind of guides a lot of the power in town with the Democrats and with the unions and with all this. So that's why, recalling any board members, he'll pull out all his
Are you saying to Sean that it's really a futile gesture? You're going to say that right now. This thing about that Sean's talking about, the exploring.
It's going to be a very uphill battle. And, I think change does need to come to Pima County, but I think don't underestimate the power. And then where would everyone else go? Because from what I also hear, FN Rodriguez is going to leave.
Are you saying this is her last term, you think?
Yeah. And so from what I'm also hearing is Regina Romero will take over that spot, which means you now have – and then you have three elections this year for the city council.
And plus, will Tucson become a sanctuary city this year, Sean McCluskey?
Technically, no, because the city council has skirted the term sanctuary city. I believe we're an immigrant-friendly city.
Boulder, Colorado, yesterday became a sanctuary city.
But by becoming a sanctuary city, you put financial funding in jeopardy, and the city of Tucson can't do that because they're already broke as it is. So I don't think they'll ever change that exact term. But what they did the other day by saying and voting and saying that they were going to disagree or not follow any federal mandate basically to remove any illegals, then their votes have unintended consequences. And what they did there, and they didn't mean this, but they did it anyhow. If you're an illegal criminal, you're now protected by the city of Tucson. How's that bode with you if you're a citizen of Tucson? How's that sit with you, David? If you're an illegal criminal, how's that sit with you?
Well, I actually had a discussion with Chief Magnus after he was on Fimbres, the council member, was on the show.
Was on this show.
And I asked him about this vote that they just took. And I mean, one of the differences between me and you is that, you see the Democrats as in power doing a lot of bad, which they do bad. I see them as in power and doing pretty much nothing. And I think this resolution, like if you read it, is kind of a nothing resolution, just as the TUSDs.
It's another paper tiger, yeah.
There is no immigration sanctuary city. And I talked to him, and we went back and forth a few times. And basically, they're not going to ask your immigration status. But if they find out that you're undocumented, then they will proceed down that.
Does that trouble you, Sean?
No, not at all, because I think it's foolish. What's the first thing happens when you get pulled over? License and registration. I don't care if you're purple and polka dotted. The first thing they ask everybody is the same thing.
Be careful what you're reaching for, too.
Well, that's why you go 12 and 10 and you're 2 and 10 and you hold it up there. Yes. But I mean, honestly, it's simple. They want to see your license, registration, and do you have your insurance card? Because three things they can get you a ticket for. You're wearing your seatbelts, the next thing. Oh, hey, you don't have a license, you don't have registration. Get out of the car, let's go with me. And they figure out the rest of your life. They don't really care what color you are before all that happens. At the end of the day, they want to go home safe to their family. They care less if you're purple, like I said, polka dotted or whatever.
You would contest? Would you contest that they don't care what color you are, David?
Well, I mean,
we've had this discussion before.
From what I was getting with Chief Magnus is basically that if you do have someone that you pull over and they're undocumented, and we don't have an ID, a municipal ID card or anything. Yeah, there's chances that they're going to know that you're undocumented anyways, and so in the end, these people would end up being kind of detained eventually somehow.
You said the word municipal ID card. It's not needed. You have a driver's license. If you're driving a vehicle, you need to have the driver's license, the identification card to drive the car, yes? So what's the purpose of the municipal ID? That's just wasting more of our money.
Well, how do you give a ticket to someone you don't know who they are? Or what about the passenger in the vehicle?
You detain them, and then you find out who they are because they're doing an illegal act. They don't have the right identification. What are you supposed to do when you drive a car?
So here's the interesting thing about immigration is like you like to call them illegals, but like you ask, what exactly is the illegal act that they're committing? Because existence in and of itself is
breaking into the country is illegal.
No, a lot of them came in with visas that
overextending your visa is illegal.
But that's just one. Coming in and having a visa, that extending, so you're guilty of a visa expiring, but you're allowed to exist as a human being on this planet, anywhere you are. And you're saying that their mere existence is illegal.
No. Okay, so let's cut through the chase here. I can care less about somebody who you just said that is an overstay of their visa. I don't really care if they come across the border.
That's like 90% of them.
Sure. The ones that I don't like are the ones that are killing people, that are robbing people, that are going ahead and getting DUIs and continually breaking and coming back across the border.
And you know the immigrant communities have a lower rate of crime than American communities do, right?
Then why is it such mainstream media always in our face that anybody who does a crime that's an illegal has had a criminal record of 14 times they've been deported and they always come back?
But percentage-wise...
Would you agree that there is a problem there if the guy's committed 14 heinous acts against humanity?
Okay, so...
And he comes back across the
border
14
times. Now, what
happens
if you're Donald Trump and you deport all these Mexicans? Well, guess what? Now they're not in prison, right? You put them back in Mexico and then they just come back.
Well, then it falls down and not my problem. And
so then deporting isn't a solution.
Well, it's a solution for our problem.
No, because they'll...
It's not
they
a solution for the country
that's
they
what you're saying.
From.
You're saying, okay, here's a murderer and they're immigrants, so we're just going to put them in Mexico across the border... They're just going to come right back, so that doesn't solve the problem.
Well, if we solve the problem of the border fence, then you have the guy coming back. See,
gotta go, guys. Thank you very much, Sean McCluskey, David Morales. We'll talk to you in February. Hope you both have a great week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. All right, be right back.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Thursday at noon. As we approach the 6th anniversary of the Tucson shooting tragedy, we'll talk with former Congressman Ron Barber. Plus, comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. Buckmaster's on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, with worldwide live streaming, podcasts, and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their wonderful gardening classes that they have this Saturday. Create your own little fairy garden display, and that workshop is at 10 a.m. at Green Things. Say hi to Jan and Jack, the owners. What a great place on 13 acres. Go to their website for all the information about this weekend's workshops at greenthingsac.com. 2016 was a banner year for writer Melissa Sevenet, who is the science reporter for Flagstaff's NPR station, KNAU. Melissa was honored with critical acclaim for her two nonfiction books published in 2016. Those books titled Under Desert Skies, How Tucson Mapped the Way to the Moon and Planets, published by University of Arizona Press. The other book, Mythical River, Chasing the Mirage of New Water in the American Southwest. That book published by University of Iowa Press. Now a new honor. She has been named by the Arizona Commission on the Arts as a 2017 recipient of the Artist Research and Development Grant that will involve producing a book-length nonfiction manuscript exploring what it means to make a home in a world defined and reshaped by catastrophic events. Let's welcome now Melissa on the live line from Flagstaff. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing real well. I'm intrigued with this project that you will be tackling. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure, yeah. So, this is so new. And I've got to say, I'm usually kind of superstitious about talking about new projects, so I'll have to make an exception here. I'm so grateful for the grant from the Arizona Commission of the Arts, which is going to let me do a little bit of travel around this region and kind of just look at this crazy landscape that I live in. My writing is always shaped by the landscape that I'm in. And in Arizona, and especially northern Arizona, you know, you just look around and it's been shaped by volcanoes and by meteor strikes and by drought and fire and flood. And it really fascinates me, you know, how humans live in that kind of place. How do we react to living in a place like that? So I'm going to spend some time sort of looking around my region for examples of that and talking to people, talking to scientists. I'm really fascinated by scientists who act as kind of guardians of the planet, who are, you know, continually watching the skies for the next meteor. And I'm going to get a chance to go see the solar eclipse, which is happening in August. I'm going to go up to Oregon for that. I'm really excited about that part.
That's going to be so much fun. And I know our comet discoverer, contributor to this program, David Levy, is going to be up there as well. There's a particular town up there that he says is going to be the best place. So we'll see if that indeed comes true. How about this book, Mythical River? What was the crux of that book, Chasing the Mirage of New Water in the American Southwest?
Sure. Yeah, that book happened because I grew up in Tucson. I was born in Tucson, and I think if you live in a place like that, you start thinking about water a lot. And so the book is about water in the Colorado River Basin, and the kind of controlling metaphor of the book is this mythical river. I researched this river called the Buenaventura, which was once believed to flow across the American Southwest, and it was never actually there, but it showed up on maps for like 75 years during sort of the early European settlement of this region. And I use that as a way to describe how we still kind of think about water in the West today. Big cities like Tucson and Phoenix and Las Vegas and Los Angeles, the idea is that it's all going to be okay. You know, we're just going to engineer water into existence. We're going to figure out how to bring water to our cities. And I think in many ways that's kind of a misguided way to look at what it means to live in a desert. So I kind of explore what I call new water or sort of mythical rivers, things like canals and dams and desalination and cloud seeding, all of these ways we have of bringing water into the desert. And then I look at some other ways of looking at water. What would it mean if we gave water back to the environment, if we secured water for the environment? So it's kind of a big book, and it's a personal book. It's my personal journey to figure out what it means to live in a very dry place.
Yeah, I've seen those early maps that have California as an island.
Yes.
I wonder if it was about that same time that some of the maps were showing. What did you call it? It's it was called the Buena Vista River. What was it called?
Buenaventura River.
Buenaventura. So probably about the same time. And the other book that has gotten really a lot of attention for you, and congratulations, you did have a really stellar year, is this book about, you know, the University of Arizona being kind of the center of the universe in in creating planetary science. How did that book come about?
Yeah, you know, I started that one, gosh, I think it was more than 10 years ago now, when I worked for the Lunar and Planetary Lab under the then director, Michael Drake. And the project started with, you know, I worked with Dr. Drake, and he told me, why don't you go out and interview some of the old-timers here, people who have been here since the 60s, and just kind of collect their stories. And that's all it was. But I was so fascinated that I got to sit down with people like Ewan Whitaker and Bill Hartman and just hear these amazing stories they had of what it was like to be in Tucson at the very beginning of the space race, and to be really the only ones in the country who knew anything at all about the moon, who were mapping the moon and, you know, had the information we needed about the moon. And so I just started collecting those stories, and eventually I thought, hey, I think this could be a book. And I'm so happy the University of Arizona Press picked it up, and they've been wonderful and have been getting good response to it.
You know, when President Kennedy said one of the goals of his administration would be to send a human being to the moon, it caught a lot of people by surprise, but it certainly it helped the University of Arizona's sciences, because they actually at the UA at the time had the capability to tell people about landing sites.
Yeah, exactly. And the U of A was really, you know, poised to be in this wonderful position. They already had a fantastic astronomy program. We had these beautiful dark desert skies. We had these mountains where you could put telescopes. And so all of that is what attracted really great scientists to Tucson. And then that moment happened where President Kennedy was like, we're going to go to the moon. And scientists were kind of looking around at each other like, we don't know anything about the moon. We don't know whether you can even land on it. It could just be a big pile of dust, you know. And so it was people in Tucson who really did the hard work of figuring out, you know, is it safe to land on the moon, and what are we going to find when we get there?
You know, the U of A and the astronomy program, the planetary sciences, have competition now from other universities that have really come on board there. But is the U of A still kind of the premier institution for this kind of work?
Oh, my. Well, I'm sure my answer is terribly biased because I did grow up in Tucson. Yes, I think they are still very much at the cutting edge. You know, the U of A got to be the first public university to run a space mission funded by NASA. That was the Phoenix mission, which I was able to work on. It was a wonderful experience. They're running OSIRIS-REx now. But I should say that the kind of explosion of space missions is happening all over. And just today, new missions got selected. New discovery program missions got funded by NASA. One of them is going to be run by Arizona State University, and the other out of Boulder, Colorado. And so there are, you know, lots of things, wonderful things going around in the country. But Tucson's got a really special place in that field.
How did you get into this business?
Well,
sure. quick summary.
The quick version is that I always wanted to be a geologist, and I enrolled in the U of A in the environmental science program, and, you know, writing just sort of tugged me away. I don't know how I ended up being a science writer, which is certainly what I am now, but I think it's because I'm just fascinated by science, by all kinds of science, and I couldn't choose. I couldn't pick between astronomy and geology and environmental science and all of the other wonderful fields. So as a writer, I get to do a little bit of all of them.
We've just had the warmest year, I believe it tied here in Tucson, the warmest year on record, in really the warmest decade, certainly. Is that going to be a continuing huge story for the state of Arizona, the warming, certainly the climate getting warmer, at least for the time being here in Tucson and Arizona? Big story ahead, correct?
Absolutely, yeah, and Arizona's really on the front lines of climate change. We're going to feel it first with drought and with fire. And I'm sure that's going to continue to be a theme in my writing. It's scary, but also completely fascinating. It's one big experiment that we're running.
All right, Melissa Sevenay, we will tell folks where they can get the book, probably the books, and I want to mention both of them. Amazon would be a good place to start, is that correct?
Yep, you can find them on Amazon, and you can also order directly from the presses, and you can go ask at your local bookstore as well.
All right, and the books are Under Desert Skies, How Tucson Mapped the Way to the Moon, and Planets, published by the University of Arizona Press, and Mythical River, Chasing the Mirage of New Water in the American Southwest. That one's published by the University of Iowa Press and the Arizona book, University of Arizona Press. Melissa, thank you very much. Have a great week. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Melissa Sevenay with us on the Buckmaster Show. Next up, travel with Ryan Hansen. Talk a little bit about New Year's travel resolutions when we come back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time for one of my favorite segments, my travel segment, with our Buckmaster Show travel industry contributor, Ryan Hansen. With us, Ryan is President and Chief Operating Officer for Bon Voyage Travel, which is celebrating 40 years of delivering a wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through four offices and a strong internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan, good to see you. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you. And I love coming on with you because listening to your show, you don't introduce every segment as one of your favorite segments.
I love the honesty. I am being very, very honest about it.
I love that.
Travel with me and Ann has been a passion, just celebrating 50 years in the business, in the communication business. Yes, Ryan, I started when I was 4 years old.
I love it.
And there's at least, Ann and I have about 45 years of travel that we have traveled the world. And it's just, there's no way, Mr. Hansen, you can put a price tag on those memories.
No, there's not. And you can't take those away. And my family just came back from a fabulous trip. We were just up in the Bay Area. I happened to be there calling the broadcast with my hobby job, the Arizona basketball radio commentator. Myself and Brian Jeffries enjoyed two Wildcat wins against Cal and Stanford. And I was able to take my family with me and enjoy downtown San Francisco for New Year's Eve. And there isn't really a better place. I mean, you might say Times Square could be more emblematic of a New Year's Eve experience, but for us, with the fireworks there right off the Bay Bridge, we had a fantastic time. And San Francisco is a beautiful city, and obviously you spent some time there.
I did eight years anchoring the news up there on TV. An Alcatraz tour, I strongly recommend that. That is so much fun to do that. To see Al Capone's cell, you know, I could not believe how little those little cubicles, little cells.
I had my two sons with me, an 11-year-old and 8-year-old, and Jack, the older one, went into the solitary confinement chamber with me, but the little one wanted nothing to do with it. He did not want to go in at all, but we got in there and we said, okay, close your eyes and let's just think about how dark it could actually be. It's a little crazy, but we love the history, and that's one thing I think you and I share about travel is the history opportunities. But you and I talk so much about cruises and international destinations and all these far-off places that I think a lot of our listeners may think are too far away. And you know what? That's not for me. San Francisco is an easy flight away, a nonstop flight out of Tucson. You can get there very easily, and it's an hour and a half flight, and you've got downtown urban setting of San Francisco, everything right there from the tourist stops of Fisherman's Wharf. You mentioned Alcatraz, but you take a trip over the Golden Gate Bridge into Muir Woods and take a little day trip to Sausalito.
You are talking about
an easy, wonderful experience that is just a stone's throw away that I would encourage people to come visit us. And people don't think of maybe Bon Voyage as an outlet to come talk to for something as close as San Francisco, but our staff of experts can help you even as easy as what San Francisco might feel to kind of get you some of the things that you may not think of otherwise.
And here's a travel tip. If you want to do San Francisco, but you still want to do an international trip, we've done this. We did it last May when we were going over to Europe. Go a couple of days early. We flew out of Boston to Portugal. Do Boston for a couple of days.
Yes.
Or if you're going to go to Asia, do San Francisco for a couple of days.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like a twofer.
Well, it breaks up the trip, for one. It
yes.
makes your trip not as crazy from a flight standpoint. You have one nonstop flight, and then a couple of days later, you get another nonstop flight, maybe right into Beijing, like you mentioned, to China, and you can experience so much more. Personally, I think there's a lot of people that look at pre or post opportunities. I love the pre. I love 2 days, like you said, two nights on your way. There's so much excitement, pent up anticipation for what you're going to experience. I love the two-night parade.
And there are great opportunities for Alaskan cruises in the Seattle area. So many attractions in Seattle to do that that pre-cruise.
Right.
The people, the travel experts at Bon Voyage, they understand these things. This is what they do for a living. They do it very well. They can arrange so you're going to take, everything will be taken care of for
you. One of the favorite phrases of mine, if I'm in the office and I hear some of our clients come in and they're talking to our experts, one of the great phrases, if I hear them say to one of our advisors, I never would have thought of that. That to me is music to my ears as the president of the company to say, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. We're here to answer those questions you might not even know to ask, to take you to places or at least maybe experiences within the places that you didn't even know of or think about.
How about some travel resolutions? Let me give you one off the top of my hat here. Packing. I always pack too much stuff. And that's probably a very common situation.
No doubt. People start to think, oh, okay, I have two dinners and mm-hmm. I need extra set of this. And what if I spill on that? And what if I do that? You know, one of the ideas that you and I have talked about off air was get a checklist. Just write down the list of things that you need.
So the shaving cream will be there in the kit bag when you get there.
At 6 a.m. the first morning.
As recently happened to me on our birthday trip over to San Diego in December. For some reason, I thought, short trip, didn't think of the usual checklist that I do for my longer trips.
That's right. Yeah. And pack, make sure you bring layers because you never know from a weather standpoint what might come up against
you. But you don't need three sweaters.
Maybe, no, you don't.
Maybe a dark sweater. Don't.
That's a good resolution. Pack less, enjoy more. That's way you're not having to lug everything around.
I got another one for you. I'm a resolution to really talk travel even more. And that's one of the opportunities for me is with you at big event coming up in February. Tell us about it.
1 month from today, February 4th at the Westin La Paloma Bon Voyage will be hosting its largest travel show ever. So you can come out to the La Paloma area and from noon to 3 o'clock, we'll have over 40 supplier partners of ours from cruise to land to hotel to tour operators all across the globe will be joining us to bring the information to you. And that's one thing that you can, of course, find information on the internet, but you can't make that connection with somebody. So we'll have breakout sessions and seminars where you'll be able to listen to experts about their product and what they offer and their different destinations of maybe Costa Rica versus Europe and why you might want to go to Costa Rica this summer. But then also throughout the trade show will be an opportunity for all of our visitors to spend some time with each of our experts and the expert supplier partners of ours. One of my favorite points that will be coming is you and I will actually get to sit down and have one of these seminars. We're still kind of discovering what we want to talk about, which is almost like every radio segment when I come on, we venture off into great travel rabbit holes.
But you're going to ask questions of me, which will be kind of
fun. This is the change.
Yes,
I get to be the interviewer, and we'll go through some of your best and most favorite trips. Yeah. Some of them, maybe the discoveries that you didn't think was a great trip, but turned out to be something exceptional. So for all the listeners out there, I think hopefully you can come and learn about travel, learn more about Bon Voyage, but also get into Bill Buckmaster's carry-on bag.
There you go. And there's no charge?
No charge. This is completely free. So this is informative, and then obviously our hope is that you come back and work with one of our experts to plan the trip.
All right. That's coming up 1 month from today.
That's right. Saturday, February 4th.
All right. I will not miss it. Okay. In the remaining minute, we talked about some travel resolutions. Hot destinations, one that I keep seeing in the travel publications, which I love to read and browse through and look at the pictures and dream like lots of other people. Iceland keeps coming up.
Keeps coming up. It's hot, and that's the joke, is that how could Iceland be hot?
It's a great destination.
It's a great destination, and it is, it's not as remote as what people think.
No.
I think when you look at the map or the globe, you think, oh, why would I want to venture there? And where such an easy place for an international traveler on their first trip overseas would be to go to Western Europe. I think that's a very smart move. But for the savvy traveler that's done Western Europe multiple times, make that trip to Reykjavik, and you're going to see a country, undiscovered country.
And stopover, Iceland Air has got great programs with stopovers. I think they've got some free stopovers, in fact, if you're going on to Europe. So there's all sorts of possibilities.
You bet. It's endless.
All right, Ryan, we will talk travel here on the show a couple of days before the big event on February 4th. Good to see you, my friend, and happy travels to you.
Thanks, Bill.
Best way to get a hold of the people at Bon Voyage would to go to the website.
Website's one of the best ways. That's the starter spot, www.bvtravel.com.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen assisting very ably with that show from 4 to 5. We do 3-4 hours in the morning, 6 to 9, and then we do 9 to 10 even. We've got a new show called Talking Culture. Buckmaster is back with you tomorrow. Ron Barber is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about the sixth anniversary of the Tucson shooting. That is, unfortunately, that horrible event, but it will be commemorated this Sunday. Be right back in 24 hours with Buckmaster. Have a great day.